Do this.
Okay, so in short, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud talks about Hashem. You know, David HaMelech said five Borchi Nafshis, parallel to Hashem and parallel to the Neshama, because you know David HaMelech finds five commonalities between the Neshama and Hashem, and therefore the Neshama has these five qualities, is licensed to be Borchi Nafshi. You know, my soul could praise Hashem. That's the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud on base. We pointed out that you know, the common denominator between all those five that it mentioned in Gemara is how it found common denominator, a parallel between how Hashem administers the world and how the neshama administers the body. And we said, you know, that's the parallel. You know, how neshama administers the body is parallel to how Hashem administers the world. And we said, yeah, because all we know about God is how he administers the world, and that's what all the divine names are. They refer to different forms of governance that Hashem does, right? And so also the neshama, as we're about to learn, black and white in Zohar, is a mystery. We only know about the neshama what it does to the body. Just like the only thing we know about God is how he administers the world. The only thing we know about the body, the neshama, is how it administers the body. And the Zohar said that all the divine names that God has is, he had those names, right, before the world was created, but that was in Olam HaAtzilus, right? He had these divine names for the sake of the world he was going to create, right? And prior to Olam HaAtzilus, he doesn't even have these names, right? And but all the names are for the sake of the creations that he administers. God himself doesn't need a name. So he has Kael for when he does Chesed, kindness to us. He has Elohim for when he does Din to us. He has Havaya for when he does Rachman to us. All these divine names are all interactions and relationships that we have. They were precedented in Atzilus prior to the Bria, and above Atzilus, we don't even have these terms. There's no such thing as anything other than Hashem himself. And that's the way the Ramak says it, and that's the simplest way to learn the Zohar. But now we get to the point. Ubeginda Kegavna da bara nishmasa degule. Just like God is that way, he created a neshama. Neshama is a creation. It's not a piece of God, as is taught wrongly. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't divide himself up. Right? But the neshama is a creation that Hashem created to be a metaphor for him. So he created a neshama to be a living metaphor for him. Right? Bidyukna delay in this, in his form. So mamish is not mamish.
Okay, without the mamish.
No, ma'am. Where's
that quote from?
So the question, I don't know where is the original source, right? But I don't know, maybe I once researched it, but everyone agrees that it's not to be taken as a physical division, but it's rather to be understood that the neshama has dveikus in Hashem, right? Unites with Hashem the way you are a part of a family. Doesn't mean you're cut out of a family. But as we say, the neshama, and it has this special relationship with Hashem because it is a creature that Hashem created to be a metaphor to understand him. But it comes out like this. What's mysterious about God can be mysterious about the neshama. What we know about God is what we know about the neshama. As the Zohar goes on to say, right, kigavna blah. Right, like in this way, Barnish Masa Badukaday, he created a neshama, soul, in this form, this Kori Hashem Pulis Dila, right, that the neshama also, the only thing we know about it is what it does to us, you know, its interactions with us. B'chol Eber Vever Degufa, what it does in every organ and organ of the body. This Kori Alma Zira, because man's body, there's a very big principle that we're going to talk about at great length in this series. Man's body is called Alma Zeira, Olam Katan, a small world. We are a mini reality, right? Hashem administering the world is like the neshama administering the body. Just like the master of the universe, Hashem, runs all his creations and every generation, right? Hashem, administers them the fee in accordance with what they deserve, right? If we merit more, we get more. We merit less, we get less. Listen to this. Kach nishmasa, so also the soul. Kafum uvde to call aver ve'aver, every organ and organ. You know? Ha'u aver David bei pikuda, the organ that does a mitzvah. It kari nishmasa l'gabe, chemla v'chizda, china v'rachame. Right, so now the neshama will now manifest itself in that organ, because the organ earned it, and do it in a way that's merciful and kind and shiny and all good stuff. Right? But on that organ, which actually did, God forbid, a sin, right? It created the neshama, the gabea, dina, the chema, the kas, the neshama. Aside from not fully manifest itself there, but it'll show anger and retribution on that organ.
Hard to say which one is pinpointed to be involved.
No, we'll talk about the parallels. What aspect of neshama rests in what aspect of body? Right, but the Zohar speaking generally that. The way the world acts, God responds in how he'll administer and manifest himself within the world. Same thing with the neshama and the body. The body behaves, the neshama sits well and sits there with a sense of kindness, right? The body misbehaves, the neshama doesn't sit well, and there's a form of anger and retribution and withholding of goodness, right? That's the neshama sits in the body, the way Hashem's divine presence sits in the world, and administers the body in response to what the body does. Avalabar min gufa, but if you take a neshama out of a body, lamante chem achzoros, who should the neshama have mercy on or cruelty on? So the only thing we know about the neshama is how it administers the body, and anything that you could say about the neshama only applies when it's in the body. Seemingly, like the only thing we can say about God is what he does for us. We don't know about him anything outside of him being the Bore Umanit, right? The creator, and he who conducts our affairs. The neshama is the same way, right? Oh, Vachi Mar Alma. So also, going back, the Zohar flip-flops. God, neshama. God, neshama. So also, Mar Alma, right? The master of the universe, right? Kadam debara almo barbarin delay before he created the world, before he created all these creatures that he administers. Lemanis koi rachum v'chandan, who would call him merciful? Who would call him a judge? Right? Ela koshman delay inun kinuyim v'loid korbon el al shein barin alma, because all the divine names are just nicknames for him. Nothing describes him. And all these nicknames apply to how he is administering his world. Whether he's doing kindness in response to their good deeds, or he's doing judgment in response to their bad deeds. And therefore, when the people, the leaders of the generation are good, so will be called Yud Ke Vav Ke, it goes with the attribute of mercy. The Kadmari Dora Inan Chayavim, but when the leaders of the generation are wicked, it kare Adnos Midas Adinis Adon. He comes with the attribute of justice. The Chol Dora V'Chol Barash Kafum Mida Delay Alav De Islay Mida V'Lo Shem Yidia. God acts with every generation and every individual in response to what he is. So a different divine name will apply, right? But God himself has no name. The names are all mitzad, coming from how he administers the world, right? We know that the way that God administers, right? The world is called the Sfirot, right? Which is beyond the scope of this topic. These different, and that's why we say these divine names are parallel to certain sfirot, which are means the modes of conduct that he chose to administer the world with. Every sphera, divine sphere, every divine attribute has this divine name, and that's really what the divine name is going on, because a name is a distinct measure, it's a characterization. Right? The spheres have characterizations, chesed, And chesed is not gevura, gevura is not chesed, right? And that's what the divine names of Kel and Elohim go on, right? But so God, as it were, implements these spheres, but God himself doesn't have a name, right? But God, as it were, implements, you know, through them, and he reigns through them. And that's why we call him by the names, because these are the vehicles that he is implementing in governing us. And that's, you could say that God's relationship to the spheres, right, is like the relationship of a neshama to a body, right? Even though, of course, we're going to explain that they're... these are just loose parallels. This is not a perfect equation, and we're going to get to that when we get into what the Ramchal says about this. But the point that we want to get to, Ma Ribon Olam, Lesley Shidi Avlo Asar Yedil B'chol Satra Shultanei. But God himself, he has no known name, right? You know, for himself, and no known level. We just know that he reigns everywhere. Oh, Fachi, listen to this. So also, Les lo l'nishmasa shem yadiyah. The neshama itself doesn't have a name. V'lo asar yadiyah. And no particular place where it is. Right? B'chol gufa, right? B'chol gufa, it's all in the whole body. B'chol startar shultan nusa. And in every aspect of the body, it reigns. Less aver panumine, there's not a single organ that is void of having a neshama in it. Ubeginda less la rashba la bachat atar, therefore you cannot describe the neshama as having a particular place. The ilav chasa shultasa b'shari v'ram, if you say it has a particular place, then what? It doesn't reign over the other organs? It's everywhere. It's everywhere, right? Can't be limited. And you can't say the neshama is only wise or understands. Matter of fact, you can't really stick any particular term to it as a defining character because you'd be limiting it. Yeah? let's think about this. So that means that everything that we're going to discuss about the neshama in the series moving forward, we talk about nefesh, ruach, neshama, chai, yechida, those things are only relevant, mitzad, you know, relative to the body. There are things that affect the body this way, things that affect the body this way, or all relative, plotting a course from the body to the highest place in heavens. So these, you know, different levels are, you know, make sense, but that's all when you're speaking relative to the body. But the neshama itself has no name. So there's two points over here, right? In this idea, the neshama itself has no name. So I say my name is Yochanan Meir Ben David, right? It's my Jewish name. I only have that name mitzad the neshama being together with the body. That means, as we're going to learn further in the series, the whole identity, the I that, you know, that is trying to earn immortality and go to Olam Haba is something that emerges only from the neshama together with the body. The neshama without the body does not have a particular identity. So the name that I get as an individual, right, that is striving, this identity that's striving for immortality and to make it to Olam Haba, as we show, is something that only comes out in neshama and guf combined. The neshama onto its own does not have a identity, doesn't have a name. So my name, Yochanan Meir Ben David, is mitzad the neshama in body, just like all the other characteristics revealed by the neshama. So now, so that's one point, you know, to take in. Right, that our identity is not neshama alone and not guf alone. It's a composite of the two together. Right? Another point to take in is that what he stresses, the Zohar, you know, put together two ideas: not having a name and being infinite. Right? Don't give the neshama any type of qualifying factor that will limit it. It's all over the body. It juxtaposed those two ideas because they really are saying the same thing. Not having a definite qualification is not having a limitation. That is why the neshama has bechira, free will. free will. You can't come and say to God at the end of your life, or God, even say to your fellow man or to your spouse, listen, that's me, just take me the way I am. No, you can change. The neshama doesn't have definite programming. They say that you don't have the power to change and improve yourself and constantly reinvent yourself. The neshama on the ultimate level doesn't have a name, and it enables you to constantly reinvent yourself, right? Refashion yourself. You have unlimited free will, right? Not just to make small choices, but to totally refashion yourself. Right? So now, as we spoke last week, in name of my Rebbe, Moshe Shapira, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, that the idea of free will, which science finds, science and psychology finds amazing, right? How can you, free will means that it's not for a reason. If it's for a reason, then it's not free, it's dictated. It's dictated, right? So there's, science going to force the decision, right? And that's why if if everything's cause and effect, like you say, really free will. It's not really free will. Right, because there's cause and effect. There are causes, where there are psychological causes, right, social causes, right, physical causes. So, but the answer is, as my Rebbe said, right, free will comes from the ani, the I, right, not from any other, right, not from not from my biochemistry and not from my social pressure and not from my conditioning. Right? Now, I can make a decision from the pure nekuda, the pure point called the I. So now here's an amazing thing. In Lashon HaKodesh, ani, right? I is the same letters as ayin, nothingness. Right? Because the decision openly comes from that level of neshama that has no name. It's ayin, right? But that makes it totally unlimited. It is not in any way predefined. If the neshama would have a predefinition, your free will would be limited. All right? So now, of course, another aspect to this idea that the neshama has no name is that the neshama can experience total annulment to Hashem, total attachment, right? And that's really what we're trying to do. We'll discuss. Is that on the one hand, we're trying to earn immortality and make a sense of identity. Make a sense of identity, right? And like we said a few minutes ago, the name that you have, and everyone knows, for those after davening, you're supposed to say a pasuk, so you remember your name when you get to heaven, which that's a very deep idea. Why should you forget your name? No, because your name is something that emerges, from the composite of your body and soul, right? You want to make sure that remains immortal. That's your earth, the identity, the you that has done the mitzvahs and earned immortality. But you don't want that having a sense of self in any way should come between you and dveikus in Hashem. And that's why the neshama has a level that has no name to ensure this unmitigated dveikus, which comes, that means that the human condition is to... is to make an interesting bridge between seemingly two contradictory concepts, right? On the one hand, there's to earn the sense of self that is immortal. And we say it's always when you do mitzvahs, even without getting so philosophical. You should be able to face the Shekhinah with pride. It's earned, it's not charity, right? Zich, right? But on the other hand, you're supposed to have unmitigated connection and the self should not get in the way. So that's why neshama has this level that enables this unmitigated connection, that the sense of self merges, right? With all the benefits of self-annulment, right, to the infinite, right? I'm not going to read the rest of the Zohar. It just goes back to say, recaps that God has no name. Because God is beyond any type of qualification, right? He's only called that because of the way he administers the world. The point that interests us is how the Zohar sees this in the Neshama. The Zohar is coming, in a much more detailed way, what the Gemara and Brachas alluded to in a more general way. The Neshama itself is a mystery. What we know about is how it administers the body. right? It has an aspect that merges with the body, you know, governs the body and merges with the body. All the names that the neshama has is because of its interaction with the body. And as we'll show later in the series, the name that you have, whatever your Jewish name is, that which is how you're going to be identified for all eternity, right? You know, when Lachar Me'ev Esrim, you know, when they learn Mishnayos for you, Seitilim for you, that's the name, right? The name that they're davening for. That name that comes out is a...
Too soon.
Right, now, yeah, of course. Now you're time soon, right? Working on earning the immortality of that identity that's, you know, always remembered in history, right? That identity is a composite of body and soul. The neshama itself has no name.
But the neshama exists after the guf goes in the ground.
Yeah, okay, so we're going to talk about it, but it as it were, it gained an identity.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that, right? So Ari just raised a question over here, which we need to discuss. The neshama got a raw deal, seemingly, right? Because you know, we say neshama is like God, you know, it's a metaphor for God, right? And now Hashem, you know, God is perfect, so He just administers us as a favor, right? He doesn't need anything. But now God created this neshama, right? This neshama is getting a raw deal. It's administering a body, taking care of a body. What does the neshama get out of it? What does the neshama get out of it? Maybe the neshama would have been, for mitzad itself, would have been better off left in heaven like an angel. What does the neshama get out of this deal of administering the body? What? All right. So now we're gonna deal with this. But what's important to right? We're gonna. That perhaps will be the very next topic that we take on. What does the neshama get out of this? The neshama is doing all the favors. The body's getting all the benefits, right? As we learned last time, body could get Ruach HaKadosh. The body gets immortality. What does the neshama get out of it, right? But to just bring a closure to today's session is what the Ramchal writes over here, which makes all the difference in the world. The Ramchal in Derech Hashem will say it outside because we're out of time, right? The Ramchal contrasts, you know, the neshama with other spiritual creations, and he says, you know, one very powerful line. That what is the difference between neshama and all other ruchni spiritual things that Hashem created, of which He made more than we are aware of? All different types of angels and spheres and other worlds. What's the difference between the neshama and all these things? They says the neshama is categorically different. And he says, umitzchalko shnei minim. Ruchni stuff is of two types. Neshamot vashein nivdalim. Neshama is just a category, it's on, and everything else is called separate entities. Why? Haneshamas heimin nivroim ruchanim hitatetu lovo betuch aguf. The neshama was created for the destiny of coming into a body, as opposed to all the spiritual creations. They have no such destiny. They have no such programming. Right? But the neshama was created with the destiny of coming to a guf, coming to a body, ligo b'tocho, and to be mixed with it, v'kashubo b'kesher amitz, right? And to be tied to it in an unbreakable knot that cannot be severed. And he then reflects his Zohar to do certain actions to the body at certain times. But this Ramchal also is a very critical point to understand the difference between God and the neshama. There are parallels, but there's a fundamental difference, right? That, you know, God interacts with the world, but it's not His destiny. He chose to. And also, the Shekhinah is not captive in the world the way a neshama is captive in the body. Like you said, it's mixed there and it's tied there. So for God, this is all artificial because He didn't have to create the world. For the neshama, it's not artificial. It is its nature. It is its very, because it was created for this purpose. And therefore, since it's for the neshama, it's not artificial, it's natural. For God, it's artificial. He just took on these names voluntarily because, you know, just to be nice to us. And therefore, the Shekhinah that permeates us and administers us is not corruptible by us. Because for Him, it's all artificial. We could corrupt the neshama, as we're going to learn, because for neshama, this whole thing is natural and the purpose for which it was created. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.
Yeah.
heard of her once under the name Hamokan. What's the Pshat Hamokan? That's the ultimate name.